I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. All this month, we're visiting with Raynette Jones, who, along with colleague Rob Aiken, oversee the UK Library's Notable Kentucky African Americans Database, a free online resource for anyone who wants to know more about the history of our Commonwealth. The database is full of little-known stories of achievement, injustice, and agency of African Americans past and present, and today we have the story of Lillian Noreen White, who holds the distinction of being the first African American female basketball player at the University of Kentucky.
Lillian is a friend. I always say we ran track against each other, but actually she was running track and I was running. She is from Georgetown. She went to Georgetown High School, and that school has been merged since with Scott County High School. They merged in 1975. But she was a tremendous, she's still very much alive. She was then a tremendous track star as well as basketball. She had run track from the 7th grade to the 12th grade. She was undefeated in the 800 meters during track season all 6 years. She holds the Scott County High School record for that event. She also ran the 800 medley. She did high jump, long jump, and for 5 years in a row, she was undefeated in the state tournament. Her senior year, she pulled a hamstring, so she wasn't able to compete. She was the first African-American basketball player at the University of Kentucky, which has never been recognized at the University of Kentucky.
Any particular reason why?
I don't know why.
But she played? She played in games?
She played for a whole term. She sure did. She was a defense player. She came in off the bench. She was a scholarship player. She got there in 1975, and when she got there, she was the Kentucky West All-Star for the state. Things change. Now, you got to understand, you're talking about someone who's 18 years old. You come to the University of Kentucky. You're the first. You're the only black player. In many of your classes, you're the only African-American. You're talking about large classes. And when I talked to Lillian, she said, I wasn't prepared for that. It really took me back. She also tried to run track at the end of the season, but that didn't quite work out either. She was on the team, maybe. I'm not sure how that went, and she can tell you better. She also was nominated to try it for the Women's Olympic basketball team, Pat Summitt.
Pat Summitt,
yeah.
The late Pat Summitt at UT.
Yes, she was the coach. She didn't make the team, but, you know, she holds it as an honor that she was even asked to try out. So at the end of that year, she decided, I'm not able to do this. It's just too much pressure. And she transferred to EKU, where she got a partial scholarship. She ran track. Now, she just wasn't running the short distances at EKU. I found this very interesting. She participated in cross country and long distance running, as well as your short events, which was pretty fascinating. Okay. She also played basketball while she was there.
At EKU?
At EKU. So at the end of her time at EKU, she joined the Army. She got an honorable discharge. She comes back. I love it when people come back. I just do, because they have so much to give, to give back to those who are still here. She comes back. She was a supervisor here in Lexington with Parks and Rec. She worked with Jackie French and helped supervise the Dirt Bowl tournaments. One of her children's teams, she called the Lakers. She was so proud of her team when she was talking about them. She also participated in the long-distance runs like the Bluegrass 10,000 here in Lexington, so she stayed active. She worked for the city of Georgetown, where she retired after 15 years, and she's now a Community Action Foster Grandmother. In 2018, she was awarded the Trailblazer Award by Bluegrass Black Pride, which is a community organization that we're both involved with. But she's never been recognized at UK. As I said, she's very much alive. She's still active. She doesn't do any more running.
You might be able to beat her now.
I don't know if I could or not. She's pretty healthy still. But just, you know, some wonderful information about Lillian. Her church has recognized her, and I think she's been recognized by other community organizations. But I really think the University of Kentucky should recognize Lillian. I feel that in my heart. I truly do. We tend to recognize males athletes, including the first African-American for whatever sport, but women don't always get that recognition.
And the fact that she was the first African-American female to play at the University of Kentucky, overshadowed, no doubt, by the accomplishments of Valerie Still, who is remains the top scorer in UK basketball history, and men or women.
That's to take nothing away from any of the athletes who followed. Absolutely nothing.
But you're right. First. And, and first should always be recognized. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the fact that we're talking about her today and that we can air this on the radio and maybe get the ball rolling, you know, so to speak, mm-hmm. or some momentum built up for this effort.
Yes.
Now, I want to go back to something that you had said and she said about her experience in the early to mid-1970s about only the only African-American in her class and all of that. Well, this was 1949 was Lyman T. Johnson. So the university has had issues with classroom ratios, let's say, African-American enrollment for the longest time. So it just illustrates that even more than 25 years later, it was still an issue at the University of Kentucky.
It was a big issue. Like I said, you're talking about, I don't want to call them children, but teenagers, 18 and 19-year-olds. They're in the comfort zone wherever they're coming from, and then you come to this, what must look like a huge university. Huge university. She never has spoken to me about anyone doing anything to her or against her. She said that it was the intimidation, playing in front of a much larger crowd. I think they played in Memorial Hall, which is much larger, I'm sure, than what was Georgetown High School at that time. So the crowd makeup was different. Her family was there, but it wasn't the community that was there.
Yeah, and the University of Kentucky basketball program wasn't integrated until I believe it was maybe 1971 with Tom Paine. So
yes,
this was around the same time. Yeah, this was a fairly recent occurrence there in the lore of basketball. And yeah, I could see where a person would really feel overwhelmed, especially a person of color in a sea of white.
Yes, and the classroom. She said, I wasn't sure where to sit, so I tended to sit in the back. She said, it was really intimidating. And I think having a mentor or someone to say, come on, you can sit up front. It's going to be all right, would have made a difference. But mentoring is something that came along later. Having those support services, UK just hired someone who is there to help individuals like Lillian, you know, who are intimidated, who are not sure where to go. I don't remember her name, but I believe she's a social worker and used to work with the city schools. So having someone like that in place can make a difference, and not just for the athletes and not just for the African-American students, but it's intimidating. It is very intimidating. Just coming and finding a place to park is intimidating if you come in from outside of Lexington and you know nothing about the university.
Our thanks again to the UK Library's Raynette Jones for sharing yet another fascinating story from the Notable Kentucky African Americans database. And we've got a link to that free online resource at wuky.org.